guys, I'm going to read you a tweet that was tweeted from Sam at Ristic Studies. I forced a bot to listen to over 1,000 hours of Brainstorm Brewery and then asked it to write an episode of its own. Here is the first page. Hip-hop music. It has tubas. Welcome, everyone, to a very special. This is from Marcel. My host today is Butcher and, you know, Hustler. Ryan is asleep. Corbin speaking now. The tournament went 2-2. Fogo is in Vegas, which is where the house was. Good times. Jason begins to complain about babies. There is a very, very long silence. Marcel, Mitko is selling out. Do not buy. Let's do a break in bulk. A deep voice begins. Break and bulk time. Ryan got a job at Hallelujah, so Doug is a guest. DJ Thorns speaking now. A red common from Morningtide. Common mythic. It has 2 power and 10 toughness. A sorcery creature. Corbin is typing. He is cheating at the game. Jason tells Douglas to destroy grad school. Jason speaking. Well, if you go to Patreon, you can have a glass. I will ship it. Buy at least 50,000 dictates. Corbin begins to read an email. It is a longtime friend of the cast. They are writing from hell. Corbin speaking. Hey, Brew Crew, Steven here. DJ is not permanent. My pick of the week is Concentrated Sphinx. An angelic chorus begins. It's time to pick. Jason is yelling at Corbin. The end. End scene. Wow, this is incredible. Sam, Ristic Studies on YouTube, makes just incredible videos about art. Really, really cool stuff. He recently did one about Giant Spider, and I promise if you don't think Giant Spider is exciting or worth listening to, go watch the video.
Art. He does like comprehensive video essays, I guess what he's called them in the past. But like some of them are about specific artists, some of them are about individual cards. Like he's done an entire history on One With Nothing, Snapcaster Mage, just certain like a very iconic cards and pieces in the game. And his videos are wonderfully edited.
Yeah, he used one of my rants before in a video. I think it was the one about the legend rule. He used my rant about medieval farmers from Innistrad knowing how to fly a smuggler's copter.
Anyway, Sam is great. He came up with this. This is a common meme going around the internet. I was dying when I was reading this earlier. I got through it straight face there. But man, the Concentrated Sphinx is just great. That was insane. They are writing from hell. It's also a good
just
line.
The Ryan is asleep, just the stone. Is like...
So many people have no idea who Ryan and Marcel are. And...
Ryan's the guy who got a job at Hallelujah.
And if episode 200 had been finished before episode 300 coming up in a couple weeks, then maybe you get to hear.
Maybe you could actually know who they are. We might have them. We might have them cameo. We'll see.
Well, 200 part one is finished, but 200 part two isn't finished. So
Ryan was on the cast like a month ago.
Yeah.
People, Marcel just disappeared though.
Well, he's like, happier.
He's still around. He's still on the internet, but he's not super deep into Magic anymore, unfortunately.
Common Mythic.
It was great. Oh man.
It's a Tree of Redemption.
I had seen a few of these memes, and I usually think memes like this are dumb, but I'd read a few before it had anything to do with us. I had read a few of these. I actually thought they were pretty funny, and one was just great.
Jason well, got the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives one, too.
Yeah.
Man, you've stepped
that
on
one
my,
was good.
You stepped on my transition over to the Patreon pitch. Are you proud of yourself? I had the perfect transition plan. You're like, Doug, but there, Jason with the Fieri.
You Doug Thorns is
told
a guest.
Me to, you told me to destroy grad school, so I had to get back at you. That's...
I told you to destroy it as in graduate from it.
Common misunderstanding could happen to anyone, really.
I spent all that money on dictates instead, and look where it got me.
Well, it did you pretty well.
Another form of this meme was they made one about Guy Fieri, and I kind of thought it would be pretty funny as a skit, and I would be willing to act in that, and I think that will be a Patreon goal when we eventually get to $2,000. We'll do some sort of... crazy skit thing.
We are very close to the one chip challenge, guys.
I mean, we are technically at it.
We just need it to hold for a few more weeks. So everybody,
so
make
if
sure
anybody drops in the next few weeks, what you can do to make sure that DJ eats a hot chip and dies is go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. Give us as little as a dollar to benefit. You will get access to the Discord where you can make fun of DJ all the time. And
it's
Corbin,
a dream, really.
Who's never there?
No one ever makes fun of me.
He doesn't know because he's never there. So a Corbinless Discord is actually a perk people wanted. They're like, how much money do I have to pay for Corbin not to be in Discord?
Nothing you're saying is accurate.
We have separate channels where Corbin can't go.
Yeah.
None of this is true.
How would you know?
Hey, if you can find out for yourself if this is true or not by going to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. Give us as little as a dollar a month, which works out to 20 or 25 cents an episode. If you wanted to give us some more money, we have perks like playmats and these handsome drinking glasses out of which I'm now chugging.
Cool. Jason sent out the glasses, everybody.
I sent out the last of the bad glasses, so we will go with a third party, potentially, or the first party that Marcel really ticked off. I think a Brain Bites, that whole ordeal in Brain Bites form might be good, so that would be a thing you would have access to as a patron. You can see our picks of the week and our Breaking Bulk picks early by having access to the spreadsheet where we, you know, show who's doing best at this. It's me. And all kind of other stuff. So that's a thing you can do. You can support us on Patreon, and if you do, and we stay over 1,500 for the next couple of weeks, DJ will have to eat a ghost pepper chip, and he may die. So,
along with the rest of us, but DJ is the one who's really dying over it. It's going to be great.
I plan to just squirt Orgel into my mouth and cheat.
I hope it's hotter than Corbin expects. That's all I want.
What does that mean? It will be hotter than Corbin expects.
I put blazing hot, literally the blazing flavor of Buffalo Wild Wings into my body every week. You think a little chip has anything on that?
Oh, I want that clipped. I want that clipped, JJ.
I want you to play that while he's coughing.
Not a chance.
We're all going to cough.
I'm going to crush it.
No, okay. I'm going to cough. I may blow snot out my nose. Corbin is going to be overconfident. He's going to be very surprised. And he may inhale it. And that'd be funny. DJ is going to straight vomit. That's my prediction. You think
DJ is going to vomit?
I don't think he'll vomit.
I'll definitely cry.
I think you'll vomit.
I hope you vomit. You have to do it on screen, though. You can't do it off screen like all the clips on the internet. Like, everyone wants to see you vomit.
Yeah. Do it in one of our glasses.
Does JJ have to...
Hold up.
Did JJ have to participate in this, too?
No,
JJ's our editor, everyone at home. I'm Corbin, Jason's the asshole, DJ's the guest, and JJ's the editor.
He's in our group chat.
Are you acting like
that
episode 298 is their first episode?
He gets access to the group chat. He should absolutely have to participate.
I think I did make him sign up for the Patreon to get into the Discord, though.
Aren't those chips like $50 a piece now?
It's like a waste of Patreon money. Fine.
It's going to be fun. We'll see. We'll see if people want JJ.
There's got to be a budget version. I'll just make
budget version. No. Now I'm off. I'm off it. Just pay the $50.
You don't think I could make a comparable?
I would prefer if you didn't.
Hot ship.
It compromises. That compromises the integrity.
Just because you're a washed up chemist.
I could go get a job as a chemist tomorrow.
You're washed up.
Okay, I'm washed up the same way DJ flunked out of grad school, I guess. So this is better because I get to hang out with my daughter all day, and we pay some of our bills with your patronage. That's not true. We just we squander all of your money. We don't even take any of it. I wish we were embezzling from the Patreon. I wish we paid ourselves, but we don't. We blow it on $80 chips. You know how much it is to mail those stupid glasses to Norway? I found out it was like $38 just to send two glasses to some dipshit.
Hey, we have two or three fuckers who refuse to respond to my messages, so I've sent them playmats like twice, and they keep getting return to sendered. That's where some of your money goes.
That's where your Patreon money goes. And if you're like, that sounds like a waste. Well, what
somebody,
are you doing?
Somebody gave
Joseph
us
Crawford, you. Joseph Crawford's
been. Joseph Crawford, your glasses came back, idiot. Send us your address.
What's his address, that's DJ?
I can't tell you because it's fucking wrong. The
we don't know.
To me is wrong.
I knew it as soon as you said, I knew it would be Joseph Crawford. You're watching this right now. You sent us your correct address. Idiot, your glasses came back to my house.
Yeah, your playmat came back twice. Your tokens came back twice.
Go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and correct your fucking email address.
That was so unnecessarily harsh.
No, this guy...
He typoed his email address and now he's just the worst person in the world.
His email address and his physical
address. And his mailing address.
Both of those are incorrect. I've sent him a message on email through Patreon.
What if he died?
That's worse.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
It's worse
for
us.
And he's got Patreon set up to auto-pay, and that's fine.
All right, well, that's some foreshadowing of a segment later in the podcast.
Wow. Hi, I'm Joseph Crawford. I'm running from hell.
Wow, that was we'll all right. Okay. I just appreciate that we sent $40 for shipping and whatever $20 in glasses to somebody who paid us $20 one time in Norway.
One time, yeah.
I hope that's what happened. Anyways, all right. Let's break
prank,
some bulk
you Norwegian
here.
Prick. Thank you for supporting us, but go fuck yourself. But
Sander
too.
Don't think the Netherlands are escaping from this. It's probably
win a PTQ and then come to an event in the States and I'll just give you the glasses in person. You creep. He knows where I'm sure Sander knows my address somehow, so.
He's got like the cardboard cutout from like when you mailed the
Sander is outside your window right now.
Probably not.
Sander, we love you, man. For people who don't know, Sander Vanderzee is a mod of our Discord channel and has been the super fan of the podcast since the beginning. Actual beginning. He's great.
Yeah, he was the first person to make us all feel uncomfortable with the familiarity of his tone in the emails he sent to us.
Sounds like you're just shooting the piss or whatever the Dutch saying is. It's probably not that, is it?
Don't finger the monkey with your soup.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Anyways, all right, let's break some bulk here before we move on.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time. Break.
Oh, yeah, breaking bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking bulk. The end.
I'll go first.
Because you've had a pick for an entire 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Did DJ give you this one? Tell the people whether DJ gave you this pick.
He did not. Boom! It's right here in front of me. Everyone
I had
just
to verify whether or not it was a pick for you.
No, you didn't. I just buy-listed it. You're the one who tried to... I named the card, and then you said, that's a bad one. And then you looked at the internet and decided it was a good one. The point is, I'm great
at this...
You
said it wasn't a good one because it was a rare...
Oh, well, yeah.
Guys, let's bring this podcast to a screeching halt until you two work out exactly who said what to whom in the 45 minutes we wasted before we recorded this podcast. I really need this
Corbin's
to be hashed
out. Corbin's Thunderfoot Bailoff. Next question.
It's Thunderfoot Bailoff. Anyways.
It's not just me. It's our listeners. They care about it, too. They can't move on. They're like, yeah. Okay, I'd love to talk about whatever you're talking about tonight, but can you figure out the exact details or your petty squabble? It doesn't matter. It's a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick. I actually get this in bulk all the time. You definitely get Thunderfoot Bailoff in bulk. However, it is
$2. You get Stonehoof Chieftain in bulk because people think that's a bulk rare. But
yeah, exactly. That's the point is these Commander rares that come out in Commander sets, just like I believe it was Benefactor's Draft. Drought that I talked about last week. People don't realize.
You did that on purpose.
I did it on purpose drought. Last week too, man. But no one believed me. It was a meme, but whatever.
That's going to be your scourge for the rest of.
You did that on accident.
I know,
I did
you
it
did
purpose.
That on accident too, you shitter.
No, I didn't. Anyways, Thunderfoot Bailoff is a great pig. It's $2. The point is, actually, a lot of these Commander rares that have come out over the past 3, 4, even 5 years are pretty good. And people like to play them, but they're not sort of the ubiquitous, everyone knows this is a Commander card, and so it's worth money. So you get people who buy whatever deck these things come in, maybe play with them for a bit, but it either gets replaced by them, or you know they like it and they want it in another deck, so they get more. But either way, all of the cards with the Lieutenant mechanic, so in this case, as long as you control your Commander, Thunderfoot Bailoff gets +2, and other creatures you control get +2/+2, and Trample. It is pretty good, and that's Trample itself. Honestly, I should play this in my L now that I think about it. But anyways, this mechanic's worth a lot of money, so when you see any of these cards, keep that in mind.
Well of Ideas.
Yeah, it was the Demon of Walking, Waking
the White, the White, there's some
Demon
angel,
Demon of
right?
Wailing Agonies, Angel of... Yeah.
Angelic Field Marshal.
Yeah.
Storm Surge Kraken, Tyrant Familiar, Lieutenant Dan. Just all the lieutenants.
You're right, Lieutenant Dan.
who, just like Corbin's pick, doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, man. That's
Thunderfoot Bailoff was reprinted in... He's fictional. It's fine. Lieutenant Dan, you don't exist. Yeah, Thunderfoot Bailoff was in a Commander anthology, so I feel
that's
like...
That's fine. That's fine. This means you get... It means a new chance to get cheap ones.
Yep.
Cool. What do you guys got? Who's up?
I got one. Does DJ want to go, or...
They can go.
This is predicated on Arcades decks, but this has always been pretty good. I think this has a non-zero amount of popper relevance, and it's close to a dollar retail. The card is Sunscape Familiar.
You know we're supposed to guess, right?
Mini game.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Here's one.
That's embarrassing.
It's a blue card from Ravnica.
Is it from Ravnica, Return to Ravnica, or
it's
Return
from
to
Ravnica.
Return to Ravnica?
It's from Ravnica.
What rarity?
It is a common.
Drift of Phantasms.
Yep, so go ahead and put Sunscape Familiar on the spreadsheet, and yay, you guessed a different one.
Oh, because he was on the same deck. That makes sense. Yeah.
But I mean, Drift is fine, too. That's going to be $2 retail before too long. I don't think
is it really?
Gonna be... Wow. I don't think it's that reprintable because it's got the transmute mechanic, and I think it's one of those cards where you can tutor for a lot of 3-drop walls in that deck. It's really ticked up a couple of, like, a quarter over the last little bit.
Yeah, Sunscape's Familiar is definitely a popper card. There is a Familiars deck that sort of reduces the converted mana cost of a lot of your blue spells, and then you play things like Mnemonic Wall and Ghostly Flicker and Prosperous Pirates, and then you can make infinite mana and kill people.
Do you guys remember when I called Sylvan Caryatid for this deck and then it got expensive?
It didn't. It was just the promo version.
I called the buy a box promo.
The spreadsheet disagrees.
The spreadsheet is so tilting, man. If I knew how to access it, I'd be so mad.
Well, you can access it by going to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and giving us however much money.
Well, we've actually made it. This might be a record. We've made it. How far in are we? We're about 15 minutes in. We haven't talked about pooping yet.
DJ called you a shitter, and if he called you a shitter again, I was going to transition.
I see. All right, yep. Fair enough. www.squattypotty.com/BSB.
You really... See, you are, like, doing the pitches like you used to poop before you had a squatty potty. You're forcing it. You don't want to force it.
That's a good point. I should get my legs up above my waist, right? You got to create the good aerodynamic flow. Ergonomic? Is that what it is?
Aerodynamic is definitely...
What do you want, Japanese game show? Where the toilet is down a ski slope or something? That's a very deep cut to a video probably only I saw. It was this Japanese game show where a guy sat on a toilet and then they're like, aha, and they knocked down the walls of the bathroom and he was on a ski slope and they were like, ah, the whole thing's on skis. And then he was sitting on the toilet going down a ski slope.
It's kind of funny, actually.
He presumably got hurt, and then the Japanese people laughed at him because...
Oh, yeah, he almost certainly, hit something in the porcelain toilet he was on, slamming it in the back of his head and killed him. Like, that happened. That's the only way that could end.
The only...
You think he just pooped as he was going down the mountain?
I mean, I would.
And then just at the end of it, was just like, this is fine?
Would you not void your bowels?
You can't flush.
That's not an issue at that point.
Well, you'd certainly void your vows after it hit you in the back of the head and you died.
That's true. They don't like to show that on television, but you void your bowels when you die, so.
Wow, way to make it dark, Jason. Way to take it there, man. DJ, you got a Breaking Bolt pick.
I do. It is... I have been thinking for that entire bit about how to make my Breaking Bolt poop related, but it'd be a bit of a stretch.
Well, so. I'm sure it's a shitty pick, so it's fine. Go ahead.
Ooh, good one.
he got you good, you idiot.
Mercadian Masks, blue uncommon.
Uncommon?
Chain of Vapor.
That's Onslaught, so you're continuing the trend of you just not knowing sets.
Hey, Soothsaying.
No, not Soothsaying.
Jay, that's Jason typing, by the way.
Not me. My hands are down. See, my hands are down.
It was DJ typing.
Yeah, because I'm looking up the card to, tell you its
price
trajectory.
Was it ever printed again?
No. It is a Mercadian Masks blue uncommon with no reprints, and it is trending upward recently.
Is it a creature?
Coastal Piracy.
It's not Coastal Piracy.
That's not trending up. That like spiked hard already.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's all I got, to be honest.
It's not.
I can.
It's not Brainstorm, Corbin. Even though Brainstorm's a common, it's not Brainstorm.
I knew better than that. You what dummy.
Is it an enchantment?
It is an enchantment.
And it's not Soothsaying.
It's not Soothsaying. It's not Coastal Piracy. This is why I picked it, because it's a good one.
Diplomatic Immunity's common, I think.
Correct.
That's a good one.
War Tax.
There you go.
War Tax?
Yep.
I thought that was already a card.
Don't worry. I cheated on that one.
But War Tax is a card that seems like it would, because it's a propaganda variant. Those are all right.
So three mana, blue enchantment.
Yep.
X and a blue. Creatures can't attack this turn unless your controller plays X for each attacking creature.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's nice. It's a propaganda. You could make them have to pay like six for each creature.
Which is fine, but then the next player takes their turn and you have no mana.
Except you have propaganda and crawl space and whatever else up.
Sure.
I mean, this isn't... the thing is, this obviously isn't as good as propaganda, which is why propaganda is $6 and this is like less than $1. Right. But this is that type of card that goes for the super budget players where they're like, $6 for a Magic the Gathering card, pshaw. And then they spend like less than $1 on this. And like the supply of these is so limited because it's a masks uncommon with no reprints that it just ends up getting dried up a little bit. And then you see
Biolus. I'll buy that, sure.
And then you get Biolus for like quarters, 30 cents, something like that. So
I definitely was yanking these out of bulk already because I thought they were more expensive.
I mean, you
probably
don't need to play this in like your optimized Pillow Fort deck where you have 8 Sphere Safeties and this is like your 9th one. You probably don't need it.
I knew this was a pick because I looked at it for my Oloro deck that's like enchantments themed,
right?
Where I have Ghostly Prison and Propaganda and Crawl Space and so on, and I decided that like it was just so much worse I didn't want it. But I can see other people playing it for, you know, either budget reasons or just because they want all of these effects.
The other niche use this has outside of just budget builds and being a 9th Pillow Fort effect is that this can theoretically see play in like the more political. Sort of like politic gamey decks because it doesn't say that they can't attack you. It just says that players can't attack. So you can save player B from player A by just like...
That's true.
You can make their guys not be able to attack and then you just sort of get to fulfill that fantasy of like, I'm pulling all the strings. It's not great, but like it's there.
Sure. Fair enough. I'm going to build a new commander deck, guys. It's going to be Nicol Bolas.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations.
A Nicol Bolas is... That's hot. That's such a good card.
It seems, the new one, it just seems so fun. I don't have a Grixis deck. I like that it, I actually like the idea that the discarding on the front half of it, and it's easy to cast. So I'm going to kind of build it. I have a few friends I play with locally who have gone off with Waste Not a few times, and I kind of want to build the deck around that idea.
I think this...
Because Bolas plays into that.
I think, actually, I'm glad you talked about that, because that leads into my pick of the week, which I'm going to fade out from right now, because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, so pick it up later, sure. Anyways, I think it's gonna be fun. I think Bolas is great. I love that you play it for 4, then you can play it for 6, and immediately you can transform it, and it gives you an excuse to play all the Bolases. Anyways, it'll be fun. I don't know if it'll be super competitive, but it's gonna be enjoyable. All right. So speaking of Bolas and other new cards, M19 just happened. I was not able to pre-release. I was at the lake, like a good redneck does over the 4th of July. What did you guys do with the pre-release? Did you get much Magic in?
I went to the lake.
I did not play in a pre-release this weekend.
DJ, disappointed.
I played in a pre-release this weekend, and the white-black lifelink deck was supported and sealed, which means it's... I think all the archetypes are going to be very well supported in draft. If you were like where he's like, I don't know if this is going to get there in sealed. Basically, every archetype had enough support in sealed decks. I think draft is going to be pretty nuts. I think if there are 2 people fighting over white-black life gain at the table, they'll both have decks.
I just want to draft Dominaria, though.
I mean, I keep getting blue-red wizards in Dominaria. I just, like, I try to go somewhere else. I'm like, ooh. If it's
Dominaria draft is just so good.
Then you end up in wizards and you can't lose.
Wizards can lose. It's like a high-ceiling, low-floor kind of deck. When it's good, it's really good, but you get bad versions of that deck, sometimes it doesn't do anything.
If someone's fighting you for it, but like...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, it's the individual... The cards are so synergy-based that if someone does fight you over it, the bad cards in your deck are pretty bad without the other support, so... Anyways, it's fine. It's a great deck when you get it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. You can go head over to patreon.com/limitedresources to hear...
Yeah, right? You should, by the way. Anyways, M19 is great. What did you guys price wise? Anything? Has there been any surprises? Doesn't seem like people are too interested. The thing I find most interesting, I guess, is that people are seriously talking about splashing Nicol Bolas into mono red decks in Standard.
That's fine.
That's a real thing that's happening.
Who's suggesting that? Pat Chapin? That's not.
No. That's how
Pat Chapin splashes.
Yeah, man. You think about it. The black red decks already play they already play Canyon Sloughs or whatever, right? So now you just throw in. There's so many dual lands in Standard right now because we're at the largest Standard where the most cards are legal. There's enough fast lands that between like Spire Bluff Canal and that sort of thing that you can just build this deck and pretty easily be able to play Goblin Chain Whirler on turn 3 and Nicol Bolas the Ravager on turn 4. It's pretty great. All that said, there's nothing too interesting, I think, out of the set past that. I would say don't sleep on Liliana because I do think that zombies could see a resurgence in Standard a little bit. They seem to have some tools.
The thing is, though, that if zombies is a deck, it has a very short lifespan or undeath span or whatever pun you want to make out of that.
Yeah, that's true. It exists for like a month.
Yeah, you get like 2 months of cool zombie shenanigans, then Amonkhet leaves and you lose everything. So
yeah.
Like the prices there would be very flash in the pan.
Yeah, the question is if it's are there zombies in Ravnica when we go back?
There haven't really historically been a ton of zombies. Like Golgari will get some, but like outside
right.
of that,
there's not a lot, right?
No, yeah. It's mostly enough, spirits.
Right. Yeah, well, fair enough. All right, so there you go, everybody. I don't think there's anything too interesting out of M19.
I mean, all the financially relevant stuff is like buy this reprint at its low. So like,
yeah. Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that.
In fact, one of the things... Oh, wait.
I got something. According to Ari Lax, discovered this on Twitter. When you play Fraying Omnipotence and Two-Headed Giant, it kills everybody.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty funny.
Oh, because it rounds up.
Yeah, each player loses half their life, so...
Yeah, and it hits both players on the team. It's pretty dumb.
That's pretty brutal.
It's never relevant, but it's there.
It's kind of funny. It's
Fraying Omnipotence is a good name for a card, and it reminds us that Omniscience should have been called Omnipotence.
Yep.
Omniscience means you should draw your whole deck. Omnipotence means you can play any card. But hey.
No, Jason, it's Omniscience. Duh.
Oh.
I do spell it that way.
Corbin still says beautiful.
Yeah, that way you know.
D-R-O-U-G-M. How does this work?
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-Y. That's how you spell this. It's like that. You gotta have something. You gotta have something in your mind to have a mnemonic device.
A pnomic device.
Anyways, moving right up past that.
It's a pnemonic device.
Let's talk everybody's favorite Ponzi scheme. Puka Trade.
That was an abrupt segue, Corbin, just like how Puka Trade took an abrupt downturn into the fucking dumpster fire that it is.
We're going to keep this short. We're not here to bash Puka Trade.
We called him a dumpster fire.
We've talked plenty about Puka Trade in the past. We had them on.
I got one for this. More like Puka Trade.
Ooh, that was a good Squatty Potty pun. Look, hey, we even had Squatty Potty. We should have Squatty Potty.
We should have, yeah.
We had Puka Trade on the cast back in the day in what I would call a disastrous episode.
I never forgave them for giving everybody Puka points but me.
Yeah, those Puka points built my Canadian Highlander deck.
They gave Corbin, Ryan, and Marcel like a couple $100 in Puka points and they didn't give me shit. And then they were like, save us, Jason. We're going down as a brand. And I said, no.
That's funny. I love that Jason. There's one thing you can count on Jason for. It's to be salty and or tilted about something years later.
Like, I'm going to forget a slight like that. Go suck a dick, Puka Trade. I hope
$100 For the record, it was a complete... It didn't even cost him anything. But it was a complete oversight, an accident, that Jason did not receive his points. He could have simply asked them for the points and gotten them.
We also can't forget that Jason has now a vendetta against every single... site that even looks, smells, or tastes.
Puka Trade. Yeah. Anyways, the point of what we're talking about is this, and we're not bringing this up to bash Puka Trade.
Oh, I thought we were done. I thought that was the entire point of the video.
No, it wasn't. There was a real thing. They had a great idea. It was not executed very well. They didn't really want a lot of advice on how to execute it better, and some of us tried to offer. So, regardless...
Oh, is that why they gave you Puka points? Because you offered advice?
I did not know we were getting Puka points. That was a thing. I would have never agreed to bring someone on in exchange for something. We simply got Puka points after that, at least I did not know about. I did not plan that episode.
Some of us got Puka points
after. I just showed up to that one. That was not on me. And it wasn't on you, so process of elimination, everybody, if you really care. But regardless...
Speaking of the process of elimination, if you go to squadaidpotty.com/BSB, you can make the process of elimination way easier.
The point is...
When you're making Puka.
There was some information going around the internet this week about Puka Trade. And if you're sitting there thinking, I don't care about Puka Trade, Puka Trade's dead, I got off of that flaming ship years ago. Well, you might have, but you might not have. Because... It turns out that if you cancel your subscription to Puka Trade, if you had a paying subscription, and if that subscription was through PayPal, as I would imagine a lot of people's was or is, it didn't actually cancel it. They still charged you every month. In order to cancel it, you have to actually go through PayPal to dispute it. And this is not how the rest of the internet works, right? If I stop subscribing to HBO, HBO does not get to charge me every month. Until I tell my credit card to stop charging, right?
You subscribe to HBO?
Yeah, we do.
Why don't you just use your parents' HBO's Go subscription like every other millennial?
My parents, that's where we get Netflix, but my parents, Norm Marianne's parents, are that hip. There's too much cursing and nudity in HBO.
that's on brand.
Yeah, I know, right? So, anyways, that's the point. Is you might want to check your PayPal for this about Puka Trade. Now, from what I understand, they have been good about when people bring this up, helping them resolve the issue. But they're not going out of their way to resolve the issue for people.
They are good about fixing it in that, like, I asked them to stop charging me and remove my account from their database, and then they said, hey, here's how you can go do it yourself, you idiot. Right. So, like, right. They did not actually provide a solution so much as they gave me a bunch of links to go click on and fight with PayPal myself over it. So,
and what I understand also is that they don't, you know, they're not even sending an email to tell people.
Yeah,
and
this they're not going out of their way to tell you that you are being charged if you're not using their website. Yeah.
So this is just a PSA to anybody out there who might have used the site in the past to check that out. And yeah, I don't know. I know they have new management over there trying to turn things around, I guess. I hope it works out for them, but it's just a damaged brand. You'd have to completely, in my opinion, to go anywhere with that website now, you have to rebrand entirely. So, yeah. Unfortunate. It's a cautionary tale, that's for sure. Especially since some of us are fairly, I don't know if critical is the right word, but, you know, we suggested people be wary other than the episode where we had him on and didn't do that. All right. Anyways, is it time for your emails from the vault? From the vault emails?
We have real emails. We have fresh emails.
All right. You give us a hot, fresh one. I'll pull up one from the vault here. All right. By the way, this was
a
big hit.
What Colvin's referring to is the fact that he went through our old folder and found out that there were 87 emails that people wrote us 4 or 5 years ago. People who no longer even like interact with us anymore that maybe
dead. That's probably true, yeah.
So that's a sad thing that Corbin slept on 87 emails. So we're calling that segment From the Vault emails because they are in our email vault that no one remembered. If you would like to compose a jingle from the vault email, we will credit you on the podcast one time. So get those jingles sent in, and we'll say your stupid name on our podcast. You'd be like, that's me! And your significant other will be like, I don't care. You made me listen to that whole podcast to hear your name. That was terrible. And the people at the LGS never heard of this podcast. So if that's something you're into, hearing your name on a podcast no one else listens to, send us a jingle to brainstormbrewery.com at gmail.com/BSB. I think that's our email address. It doesn't matter. We don't read your emails. So just shout that jingle into the void. Corbin, read us an email.
Corbin's not going to read you an email. So I've got an email right here.
Are you going to read the new one? Is that what we're doing?
Oh my gosh. I'm looking. Somebody transcribed our set review from whatever set. Is this Born of the Gods?
Is it Chromanticore? Like, what are the cards in
that's
it?
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Astral Cornucopia, Corsair of Krufix.
That is Born of the Gods.
Wow.
Wait, did they transcribe the Chromanticore rant?
No, they did not, unfortunately. Well, in fact, they don't even...
Useless.
The Chromanticore.
That was the only relevant part of that episode.
I agree.
That was a good rant.
All right, go ahead. Read us an email, DJ.
This one's titled Patron Email, which is how you get your email read. Todd Wells, hey Brew Crew, I recently received a large collection and have been trading it off and buylisting it to various places. I've come across around 500 Russian Dominaria rares of various value, but I'm having difficulty finding where to move them. Traveling to a GP isn't really an option for me. Any advice on recouping some of my money, or am I just stuck with them? Thanks for all the great work and entertaining content sent from my iPhone, which is the most boring fucking thing you can send from.
Whoa,
DJ.
DJ so tilted.
And or salty.
throw them on TCG player and pray. And then as for the bulk, just like throw it in the dumpster.
Build, replace the stuff in decks with the Russian copies, because you were stuck with those, comrade. Yeah, Russian Dominaria Rare is about as welcome as Russian election interference.
Fake news.
We don't need it again. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Teferi and the, like, assuming you have relevant stuff, like, if you have a Chain Whirler or something similar, like, it'll probably, like, what do you call them? Czech lands will probably move relatively quickly on TCG. If it's something less relevant, but still technically relevant, like a Cabal Stronghold or a Banalish Marshal or something like that, you'll probably be stuck with it for a while. And if it's pure bulk, just use it to wipe your butt when you go to squattypotty.com/BSP.
If you have a Tatiova, email us and I will buy it from you.
Well, that's Russian foil or just Russian, Jason?
Just Russian. I don't care. I see.
The thing in my experience with foreign foils is it's very hit or miss. If you open the full, you know, foreign foil Flooded Strand from Khans of Tarkir, it's going to pay for like 3 boxes or whatever, right? But if you don't, it's pretty hard to find people who just want, say, a Russian Flooded Strand and who want to pay a premium for it. That's the issue with that stuff.
If you got foils, definitely do your due diligence in figuring out if they're worth something. Because Russian foil, anything, is going to be worth a little bit. But especially if it's EDH playable. Like Russian foil Cabal Stronghold's probably like 10 or 15. I don't know. But
all right, you got another one, DJ?
Yeah, I guess I can. I guess I can.
Can you stifle your yawns on the podcast, Ryan Bouchard? I'm really sorry we're boring you.
Would you like
me to... Hey, why is it so late? Oh, yeah, because you showed up 20 minutes late, and then you fucked around for 45 minutes, and that's why you're tired.
Jason had no part of that.
Hey, I can't help it if I'm entertaining. I can't help it if I was regaling you with stories.
Get down on their knees and thank us for reading this email, because they did it all wrong. They titled it M19 Russian Boxes, so I don't know if you're a Patreon or not. And then it says... Kinda new listener, first time emailer, so...
What's wrong with you, DJ? You can't shit on the new people. That's Jason's job.
Definitely should have told us that you were a patron.
Is this person a patron?
I'd be surprised if they were.
You should have said you were. That's what you're learning right now. Yes.
Yeah, always say you're a patron.
You guys seem to be pretty
what
down
could go wrong?
On M19. I was able to acquire a Russian case. I was able to acquire a Russian case.
Why are there Russians everywhere?
I think they're listening to Fast Finance and getting some bad advice.
For 410, no tax. So a case of Russian M19 for 410, no tax. Is it the worst to crack at that language/price point? From the Ray, sending this
message. You got a case?
Sending this message from the loudest thunderstorm I've heard in my life.
That's a good sign off. You got a case for $400? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
$410.
That seems insane.
So that's like under $70 a box. I mean, I assume they use the eBay coupon.
It fell off truck.
So, like, I got a few cases of M19 with the eBay coupon recently at, like, 70 a box because it's just, like, the Sports and More sale or whatever. They sell them for ridiculously low, and then you get, like, 15% off on that. What?
If you paid $70 a box, what is that per case?
Probably, like, $430 or something like that.
No, what is it? If it's,
What is it? What's 70 times
exactly if it's $70? Yeah.
Oh, it's $420 probably, right?
Blaze it!
Okay. Do you remember from 2000?
You mean the year
you
DJ
were
was
5 years old?
I expected that from Jason.
We didn't plan that.
We didn't. Just... I knew that was going though. Oh man, you got wrecked there, DJ.
What? How did I get?
You just got blown the fuck out, man. Just accept it. Don't even try to argue.
It's a dumb meme, sir.
Just don't even try to argue. Oh man, I forgot. Okay, the point is, you got Russian boxes for cheap. What a bro!
Wait, I got blown out, or this guy got blown out?
No, you got blown out by us getting you. We made you look silly.
Okay.
Did you get four Russian or six Russian foil Nexus of Fate?
That's a real question.
Because that helps. That helps your box a lot.
How much money is that card worth today? Is that card super expensive?
It's pre-selling for like 20.
That's really stupid. But don't worry. It'll come down as more boxes are... Oh, wait. It's stupid. $25 for this thing.
It'll go up because it's a bad president.
Yep. That's so stupid. Jason, all right. Anyway, so what's the question? Should he crack the boxes? Is that the question?
Yeah. Is it the worst to crack?
No.
He bought them without asking. He's like, I bought this shit. Should I open it?
Was this a good buy? Yes or no?
No. Sell the boxes. That's my take.
You can get 100 for the boxes and then just make your...
Yeah, tell the people at the LGS that there could be a legacy or a vintage foil, and then they'll be like, what's played in this set?
Well, it's probably not omniscience. Roll those dice.
It's probably not that hard to get $100 a box out of a Russian box like that.
If you got a foil Crucible,
like, that's the thing. You can open them and play the lottery if you want, and if you open one of those foil mythics, it's going to be great.
Keep forgetting this is M19, not Dominaria.
Yeah, like, why not? I would just sell the boxes for 100 each, make 600 bucks, make it $200 in the exchange, and call it a day.
Yep.
That's so much easier than any of the rest.
So no, no crackski, comrade. Flipski.
Can I go to the vault here?
Oh, can I go to the beer fridge that I installed in my basement? I'm going to go do that.
Did you really? Nice. I have a fridge in my office, but it went out a couple weeks ago, and I don't know how to fix it.
Did you try plugging it back in?
It was running. It just wasn't cold. So it might just need a new Freon or something, but I haven't had time to mess with it.
Put more ice in it, Oki.
More importantly, I haven't...
my ice box is warm.
More importantly, my wife hasn't had time to mess with it. I'm not smart enough to fix it. All right, can I go to the vault for email here?
Only if you find one from before 2014.
Hey, Corbin, I need you to hum a From the Vault emails theme song.
Yep.
To give people inspiration. You need to hum something. A couple of bars, maybe some lyrics. And then they can use that as the basis.
You understand I'm not what you call a creative person.
That's 100% why I'm having you do it.
Okay. This is the segment about some old emails.
I'm getting some Fresh Prince vibes.
That's what I was going for, yeah. Okay.
I was
unfortunately, I got no further than that.
This is the segment all about how Corbin didn't read your emails and he got blown out. So if you transcribed a set review, too fucking bad for you.
There you go. That was pretty good, Jason. Nice job. All right. I don't remember which ones I read last week, so I'm going to go with this one. This is from 2000.
I don't remember which ones I read last week. Yes.
You have to burn them when you're done with them.
Still got 87 emails.
This is from 2013. This was sent to us on 12/17/2013 at 10:29 a.m.
Oh, good. That's relevant.
Well,
the time of day.
Wait till I get to their college dorm room address like you would. All right.
The last four digits of their social.
All right. This one comes to us from Mason Losh.
That name does not sound familiar, so he's probably dead at this point.
Subject: Disrupting Shoal. Hey guys, I'm a big fan of the show. You've helped me make some smart trades and kept me from losing money. Your articles are well informed and your banter is hilarious. I wanted to email you guys to draw attention to a card, Disrupting Shoal. About a week ago,
is it like a dollar?
About a week ago, Travis Wu posted a deck list on Channel Fire.
Remember Travis Wu?
This aged
This aged in the best way possible.
I was going to say aged like a fine SS uniform, but that works too.
I was reading Kelly Reed's TCG Player article.
About a week ago, Travis Wu posted a deck list on Channel Fireball, creating a new modern deck that is mono blue and dubbed it Ninja Bear Delver. While the deck has seemed solid, LSV snapped it up and started streaming with it. Now one of the key cards, Disrupting Shoals, jumping in price and copies of it are quickly disappearing online. To me, it seems like a classic case of a speculative spike. Oh, a la Anthony Capici's article, Anatomy of a Spike. In this email. That was an incredible article that we ran
BrainstormBrewery.com used to run articles. That's how we hired DJ. DJ was first hired as a BrainstormBrewery.com writer.
Yep.
We hired Jim Casale from Cartel Aristocrats to write for us. We hired Sander Vanderzee as a writer.
We had Anthony Capici.
I don't know.
I do remember this Anatomy of a Spike card. This was like one.
He wrote another one too called Rares, the new uncommon.
Yeah, that's right.
That was really good too.
No, legitimately,
like, I don't want to write no more.
Well, yeah, legitimately, I would actually even say that these are timeless articles, and that if anyone out there wants to Google Anatomy of a Spike or Rares, the new uncommon,
go to brainstormbrewery.com and check out our article archives. We actually post the podcast there too, and people comment, and we just ignore them.
Brainstormbrewery.com/BSB. Wait, what?
They do comment on weed.
It's mostly spam bots at this point.
Yeah, they're usually mean. We just want an email. All right, okay, so I'm going to finish his email. He says, it's a classic case of a speculative spike. However, Shoal does seem to mimic Forcible in some ways. What do you guys think? Mason Losh. All right, so I'm going to look this up. This was 2013 December. The beauty of MTG stocks is we should be able to look up what the card was worth.
The card spiked.
It goes back to 2012.
It spiked a lot, like a lot of different times, so...
God, didn't that deck make Threads of Disloyalty a card, too?
Threads was... Wow, this has spiked so many times. It's so stupid, this card's worth money. All right, so...
2 to 10.
So, this was 2013?
End of 2013. Yes.
All right, so it depends. So, on December 9th, 2013, it was $1.96 TCG median. On December 23rd, 2013, it was $10 TCG median. So, if we'd responded to that email, which is, I hope we bought him. I hope we bought him.
Sitting at home waiting just with his shopping cart full. Come on, guys. Say something on the cast. If you had a Patreon, I would subscribe to it, but you don't because it's 2013.
Okay, to be fair, though, that was December 17th, right? On December 16th, it looks like it actually spiked to 993. So he might have been a little late in this. Regardless, so what happened then? It depends on all where you got in, right? And it did behave exactly like a spike behaves. It went from $1.50 to $10. And again, we're talking about median, not market price here. But then it tailed off, and it ended up about $5, $6. So it was higher than it originally was. And at that point, market price was, I'm going to guess, $4, right? So you could have made some money on it for sure if you get in right at the beginning, but then it did tail off. Then it spiked again to 13 and fell back down to 9. And then it spiked again earlier this year to 25, and now it's in free fall, but currently sitting at 15 median. So there you go.
You got in at $2 because they're 25. They've shown the ability to get 25.
Yeah, so...
Next spike will be at a 40. So.
Well, Mason, there you go, buddy. I hope that helps. The point
from
is...
From the vault. From the vault. We didn't read your email and it's Corbin's fault.
That was
good.
Oh, man. That email was a throwback.
Throwback to a time when you should have fucking read it on the podcast.
I've got another one here.
So this is painful. I can't... This is like watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I can do one a week, tops.
No.
I can't binge.
You can steal yourself through Scott's tots. You can handle anything.
All right, is it one a week? Is that what we're saying? Because this next one came. This next one was sent to Ryan.
Okay, we got to read that.
All right. This one came from Cameron Duker, and it was sent to Ryan, who then forwarded it to us.
Duker?
Duker.
As in he drops Dukes?
D-U-E-K-E-R.
Oh.
Duecker?
So Duker.
So, I don't know.
Well, if you're having any trouble duking, go to squattypotty.com/BSB. It's going to look like that didn't work, but we assure you that affiliate link will credit us.
All right, here we go.
With your purchase.
Cameron says, I was listening to your cast this morning on the way to work, like I do every Friday, and thought your takes on the new influx of speculators from Reddit were interesting. This is from 1/22/2014. I know you like to look at historical precedent, and I was wondering what you and the guys' thoughts were on what we're seeing now from the comic book boom of the early 90s. You had a lot of new investors back then investing heavily in comics who never read them, and the publishers responded by printing special collector's editions with foil or hologram covers to feed the frenzy. There was also a movie called Batman that had just come out that helped make comics mainstream. We all know what happened when the market became overbought and crashed. It almost killed the comics industry. Is magic heading in this direction? I emailed Corbin about this many months ago when I saw some early signs, and he ignored me. Smiley face.
Don't worry, Cameron. What, no, ignore you twice.
What do you think is 2014, 1994 all over again? Great job on everything. Keep it up, Cameron. This email came to the Brainstorm Brewery account, signed Ryan Bouchard, Karma Games, lead buyer / owner. How pretentious can you be? Wow. So, I don't know, guys. What do you think? Is 2014, 1994 all over again?
I honestly don't see magic lasting beyond the summer of 2016 at the rate that dipshits from Reddit are buying Wall of Kelp, and I think...
So, it's funny because the MTG Finance subreddit is what he would have been talking about. Funny story, Jason...
No, it's what I was talking about
Jason,
on the podcast.
Jason created that.
I did, because it was a place that I wanted to post articles from BrainstormBrewery.com.
So you can blame Jason for everything that has followed.
Oh, yeah? I made alpha investments? Okay. That's my podcast? That's my
I'm not going to talk about that, but I think we actually got run out of the MTG Finance subreddit to an extent.
I know they made their own shitty subreddit that nobody posts in anymore called MTG Market Watch because they claimed the MTG Finance subreddit was sold out to Quiet Speculation.
Well, because at the time Jason and I were running the PR sort of for Quiet Speculation, and we asked the subreddit at some point, hey, would you like a free unlocked article every week just to read, right? It's free content. And people were like, yeah, that's great. So then, of course, flash forward 2 months and people were like, this is just a scam to get me to sign up, blah, 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 blah. Which, I mean, sure, of course it was, but it was also free content.
100% it was. It was also a free thing for you to read, idiot.
Yeah. So they just got so tilted. And then it was like, Jason and I had Brainstorm Brewery flair on the subreddit. And so people would get mad whenever we posted. And just it just got really negative, really, really negative. And I think it was a mix of the people coming in there trying to get rich, thinking they knew everything, and then a mix of like the Magic TCG crowd filtering its way over and then hating anybody who talked about card prices because they just thought that subreddit was creating spikes, even though spikes existed forever. Anyways, I would say in retrospect, 2014 was not 1994 all over again because Magic is still just as much of a bubble as it ever was, but also still going up. So.
This time, Black Lotus will go down, Corbin.
Yeah, right.
This time.
It's crazy. That was a nice email. I didn't know it insulted me when I started reading it, though. I might have, it's probably why I never read it back then.
You never read it because, like, he already said that you ignored him before. I love that you're reading an email that you've ignored for 4 years. Where he's like, Corbin ignored me.
4.5 years.
Don't worry, Cam. That'll never happen again.
Oh, man. I just want one day... When we now we've started this series, it won't last forever, but if we can make it last for a while, somebody, I read somebody's email who still listens. Or better yet, took a break for 2 years and then came back and listened again. And they email us and they're just like, you read my email. That's what I'm hoping
You're the
for.
Corbin Hostler of this podcast.
That's a good point. That's a fun segment. From the Vault emails, everybody. Thank you for whoever gave us that suggestion. That was a great name suggestion for that. All right, onward.
From the vault, from the vault. If we didn't read your email, don't blame Jason Ault.
Let's see pick of the week. Let's see pick of the week. There's no more emails.
Oh, I was supposed to have a pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Disrupting Show. It's my pick of the week. December 12th.
2014,
$2. 2013. My pick of the week is Lurking Predators from Commander 2016. So the original printing of the card from Magic 2010 topped out at $6, I believe, maybe $7. Let's see here. Topped out at about $6.50. So for those who don't know, it's a 6-mana green enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, any spell, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature, you can put it into play directly. Otherwise, you put it on the bottom. So you just cast this thing on like turn 4 or whatever in a green deck, like I played in my Mael deck. And then for the rest of the game, everyone has to remove it. But the beauty is, if the first person can't remove it, they're still going to cast their spells because they have to try to play Magic. And you just get so many triggers off of it. And if you miss, it's fine. You just put the card to the bottom and you get to try again. It's incredible. So it got reprinted in Commander 2016 and it started really cheap, like $1 or $2, and it's climbed back up to almost $4. But I think based on the way it's grown in the last year and a half here, I would not be surprised if this is similar to something like Zendikar Resurgent, where it gets a printing and now more people know about it and they see how strong of a card it is, and it just outgrows.
I actually
where
call
it
that
began.
Discovered demand in an article.
Yeah, that's a good term for it.
Like a discovered check in chess. It's like when people find out it's a card, they're like, oh, so like a reprint can actually increase demand, which will, you know, there's an increase in supply, obviously, but I think that makes the price recover faster than it would have if, you know, people didn't realize, hey, that's a thing.
Right.
And also another component of discovered demand is something was priced out of people's range and all of a sudden it's more affordable. People that didn't consider it a possibility now do consider it a possibility because it's more affordable.
Right.
And your demand goes up that way. So,
I think
you're right. I think people are going to read Lurking Predators for the first time and go, woo, that's a thing.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
I mean,
a green mind's dilation.
And they clearly have been because it's grown. I mean, it bottomed out at $1.30, and I certainly hope we talked about it
That was for sure one of our picks of the week. Yeah. That sounds like something I would have picked a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this was it. Yeah.
That's pre-spreadsheet.
It is pre-spreadsheet, so no one but Sander knows the truth. So, and the fact that it's climbed this steadily makes me think it's just going to continue on its way up to $7, $8, maybe even $10 over the next 2 years, and it's so absurdly good.
If it hits,
Zendikar Resurgent is the other one that did the same thing that kind of made me really take notice of this trend, where it took a reprint in a commander set for it to quickly become more expensive than it was before the reprint.
I think there was a component of why isn't this card more expensive also. The foil got bought out and people kind of thought like the non-foil should be more on principle. I think there was a component there.
I mean, Zendikar Resurgent is still climbing for what it's worth. It's crazy.
It's a very good card. I hope Regal Behemoth joins it because that's nuts too.
If it gets... what was I going to say?
I can't help you there.
If it gets up to like 8 or 10, like Corbin thinks it might, then if you notice it got that high and you didn't buy in, look at the pre-constructed deck that it was in, and start checking the EV of that, because there's often a lot of value to be had in those sealed decks when the cards in them just slowly climb up and nobody realizes the actual sealed deck itself. Like when the weight in a battle deck goes up to like $120 crack value or whatever, and you can just find them sitting on TCG for 55, and everybody's like, oh, when did Blade of Cells be 15? When is Fiery Confluence 25? And you just go buy sealed decks because it's just not as visible. So
yep. All right. What do you guys got picks of the week?
I got one that, like, TCG player is going to be the last to know on this because, like, a lot of other sites are calling this, like, $5-6. It's going up everywhere. I bought out my LGS, had 10 copies of this at $2 each. TCG player, I feel like it's around $2 market price, but I think this is a $5-6 card waiting to happen. Dominating Lycid.
What is that?
I don't know what's doing it. Oh, okay. So it's like a 3-mana 1/1, but you can turn it into an enchantment that goes on a creature. The Lycid's all enchanted creatures, but this one goes on their creature and you gain control of it. So it's like a 1/1 creature, but you can pay mana to turn it into like a Brain Hugger enchantment that goes on their creature and then you gain control of it. It's pretty cool. I used this back in the day. I really liked it. I've actually like killed people by attacking them with Dominating Lycid because they had no creatures because I counterspelled everything they played. Then I would like let them play one good creature and steal it with the Lycid.
So
that was a good time.
It looks like the market price is still $238, but
yeah,
the only available copies that are around that are heavily played or damaged, and some of them are unpurchasable because of the $2 minimum on TCG player. So if you
that's that thing you've talked about before where some of the copies are just.
So if you
stuck in
limbo. If you filter by like LP near mint, the only copies available are already $4. So do you still think it is a buy at $4?
I don't think it's a buy at $4, but I think you can get it a little. Oh, so you're saying like there are no $2 copies to be had? It's fine at $4 because this has like been secretly creeping up for like a couple weeks. So
yeah, like the only available LP or better copies are already like 4 to 5.
This is going up 20% a week. I think buying in at 4 is fine.
All right.
Let's see. Is this on the let me check real quick to see if this is on the reserve list. I should know that, but because it's from Exodus, it's a very old card.
It's also just like
it is on the reserve list. So there you go.
Okay, so let's imagine it's not on the reserve list. This is a card that is pseudo reserve list just based on what the card does. Like,
and the fact that it's from X. Yeah, they don't.
It's just so hard. Like, where do you want to put this card? You just don't. If this card's not on the reserve list and they're like, oh shit, Dominating Lycid, it's $20. Where do we put it? Like, how? It's just, it's a weird ass card.
Oh, you're saying it's unreprintable? I thought you were saying it was unplayable.
No, I'm just saying the logistics of the card are very hard to print because of what it does. It's just like not a newer player friendly card. It turns itself into a creature enchantment that suddenly mind controls. Like, it's a weird creature type that nobody cares about. Like, it's just awful in terms of logistics. It's a mistake from Wizards past in terms of like actually designing interesting cards that have like reprintability. It's like, even if this card was not on the reserve list, just the abilities and text and all of the things in the card just lend it to Wizards just ignoring that it exists forever.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't hate this at
print four. Something cleaner.
And I think if you look on TCG player, you're like, oh, the, you know, the lowest listed in the market price and all this stuff, it's around $2. But like, yeah, what DJ was saying, like, if a card's below $2, it's hard to buy because you have to buy something else because there's that $2 minimum. So cards are getting stranded below that. So like all the $3 copies of the near mint are all gone, but all the dregs are left basically, and they're giving you a false bottom of the price. So I think this is a $6 card that you can get for $4, and don't hate that.
All right, DJ.
Well, I think this is a $6 card now that you can get for $4. I think this is a $10 card.
That's fair. My pick, I originally had two picks, but I split it off into one so I can save one for next week. It is predicated on Corbin's new EDH deck for Nicol Bolas. And Corbin, it's going to be a card that you're going to want to pick up for this deck.
All right, hit me.
It's something I've talked about a lot on this podcast, and it's slowly
going to TCG player right. Going to TCG player right now.
It's slowly.
Is this the new Nicol Bolas?
Yes, it is a card that people will want to play in their new Nicol Bolas.
I'm ready.
Decks.
I'm ready. Hit me.
I've talked about this.
Give me a clue because I screwed up the guessing game earlier.
It's a 4-mana artifact from a very old set. By very old, I mean like from like it's modern legal, but it's really old.
Guess Grimoire.
There you go.
Oh, I nailed it.
Geth's Grimoire is a 4-mana artifact from Darksteel with no reprints, and it's an uncommon, so it's very, very hard to find.
So stupid, it's good, really, and like, really in my NAF deck
in a lot of different EDH decks.
If you make someone discard the card,
it's not. Whenever an opponent discards a card, you may draw a card. Cycling, somebody drops a Wheel of Fortune, like any sort of Nekusarshan, like. You just draw a ton of cards, and if your commander happens to make your opponent discard, your Nico Boss the Ravager turns into an Enter the Battlefield draw 3. So
really good point.
This is like a
strap him on a Deadeye Navigator and go to town.
Yeah, this is like a one or two dollar card that is probably going to be $4 or $5 eventually. I've been talking about this card for years.
Like, I get these in bulk.
I've been on this since it was like 30 cents, and it's not going to get a reprint.
All right, so I'm going to put it in my cart for a dollar, but then I got to buy something else.
Then buy a Dominating Lissid.
All right, so Masterpiece Games is selling one for $1.04, but I'm going to buy the one for $1.06 because it's being sold by Military Merfolk. In. Added to my cart.
Or you can just pull the Jason strategy, buy two, and then the next one is free.
I could just buy. They have four. I could just buy all four of them, and I'll just put the others in the store.
Yep,
I'm in. Doing it. I will play that in the deck.
We are manipulating prices in real time on this podcast.
Yeah, by buying play sets.
But nobody listens to this podcast, so nobody knows.
Oh man. Anyways, that's a good pick. Great card. All right. Anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here this week?
I'm trying to think of a way to make our podcast more marketable.
Yeah.
You know, to draw new listeners that, like, people aren't necessarily interested in finance. I'm going to do a review of Ultra Pro's 3x4 top loaders. I use these to send cards in the mail. You get these from Ultra Pro. My LGS orders them for whatever their cost is, and I pay that. But if you went to Ultra Pro's website, you could probably get a pretty decent price. They're called premium top loaders. I don't disagree with that language. I think premium is a good way to describe them. It's 3x4-inch top loader. You'll like those dimensions because that is the dimension of a Magic card. And if you're like, hey, I can't get it in there, what I want you to do is rotate that Magic card 90 degrees, and you'll find that it fits right in the top loader if you do that. So
good advice.
If you're having issues getting the card in, make sure you're trying to insert in the open end and make sure that the Magic card is oriented the same way as the top loader, the 3-inch side, not the 4-inch side. That's where the opening is. So I think that top loaders are great. You should use them when you send stuff in the mail. That way the card doesn't show up all bent. And Ultra Pro is a great brand for top loaders. And I expect our Patreon to be over $100,000 by the end of next week. Thank you very much.